Hey guys, and welcome to Tama Talk, the podcast for the 2021 NL East Division Champions. Hey, what's going on, Hunter?
21 division titles, number one in MLB, baby.
Can't complain about that, brother. Not one dang
most
bit.
Most in history.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't want to be kings of the regular season forever, though.
Nah, we got to get the championship.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a travesty we only have one. But those teams that we've had.
We got three.
Well, okay, yeah, we got one in Boston. We got one in Milwaukee, and we got one in Atlanta. But, dude, seriously, with the teams we've had, we need, like, 10.
We know this. Everybody's fan knows this. Same like Dodgers fans.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Dodgers, but they got a payroll that they should have way more with that payroll.
Yeah. We've already seen how that works. Like we've been talking about the Dodgers, while all of a sudden they've been able to do what they've been able to do. And you told me to save it for the podcast. Well, here it is. We're just going to start off with this randomly. Buster Posey opting out in the 2020 season not to play, for him to rest, for Crawford, all those guys to get basically 60 games for all those veterans, Longoria, all them. That's just time for them to re-up, to get their bones back together, to get their muscles feeling good. They've got a team full of experienced veterans thrown in with some new good pitching that fell into their lap. That's the reason they were so good this year. Their pitching on top of their veterans finally getting to rest up and come back ready to play ball and wanting to actually win again.
I mean, I feel that, dude. I think that's, like I said, opting out of that short season really probably made a huge difference for the Giants. I'll give this.
You could almost argue if his stats were just a little bit better. You could almost argue he's MVP, him or Crawford, because there's no runaway MVP as far as Soto, Harper, Tatis, even. There's no runaway MVP. So
now, I don't know why we're not hearing more about Riley.
Yeah.
Riley.
That's what we're with him. But.
I mean, I'm going to say this. Riley, his season, the way he has adjusted at the plate.
Most
plate
improved player award of the year.
Definitely.
Or, no, him and Cedric Mullins. If there was an NLAL award I could give that to, most improved player,
it would
be
Riley
Cedric
and
Mullins and him. Yeah.
I mean, I'll say this. I mean, you got to mention Ozzy in the conversation too, because look at the season he's had.
In most improved?
No, I'm actually talking about MVP candidacy.
Oh.
I mean, a second baseman, 30 home runs, over 103. He has 103 RBIs, and
I think
is
it's a gold
tied for
Silver Slugger then.
A Silver Slugger, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely for the position.
Who else occupies that in the NL, though? Who else could win over him? Cronenworth. He's been pushed to first base a lot because of their difficulties. And I don't know. Yeah, he should be Silver Slugger.
Definitely. And, but he should be at least mentioned in the top 10 for the MVP.
Silver Slugger, that's a whole nother conversation.
That
I really
is.
Thought
Absolutely.
About.
That Riley needs to hold that. Riley needs to hold that for sure.
There's Arenado, though, that's all of a sudden started going off.
Oh, too. Well. Big deal.
And I know, but you know how that is. And his defense is still going to be superior to Riley. Who knows?
Looking at these highlights, dude, I actually slept through the game, you know, because I had literally been working 70-plus hours over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, you didn't have a choice.
And I fell through it, but we've been watching some of the clips from the post game, and it is hilarious.
Yeah, I've been trying to get him caught up on that. We've got Heredia looking. He was one of the last to get. We're looking at it right now, actually. One of the last to get into the waterfall. As the moment he stepped in there with his phone, I knew his phone was not coming out of that alive. I posted that to Reddit, and somebody posted like 5 minutes afterwards, like, "Yeah, we're watching his TikTok or whatever right now," and his camera and his volume just cut out. So apparently the waterfall killed his phone, but it was worth it.
Definitely.
And then Will Smith falls in face first trying to climb over the rocks.
While smoking a cigarette.
I think Jackson did too.
Look at Jackson, man. He is all under that waterfall.
Dude, they're having a blast.
Mentor with a cowboy hat. Oh, and the snowboarding goggles, man, he's got.
Oh, no, they all got them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because they were spraying hot Miller Lite everywhere in Champaign.
I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not drinking a hot Coors or anything.
I told you how they, I don't know if it's Coors, Miller Lite, but I told you how they just had a big bucket of beers. They were just emptying, you know, like shaking it out like it's like just hot beers. I'm like, I guess because they figure they're going to just shake them up and spew them or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually
somebody's
going to want to
drink one. You want a cold beer.
I mean, I don't even like beer, but I will. I'm mostly liquor.
But if you're going to drink one, you don't want
it's gotta be. It's got to be ice cold, dude, if I'm going to drink it.
Yeah, okay.
Like the night we were playing pool over at the pool hall, and I had, what, like about 8 or 9 of those things. You remember we were playing pool over at the...
Yeah, Tri-County.
Yeah, had a lot of fun that night, that's for sure.
Okay, so what are we talking about? Other than Braves clinching, the interviews, Ozzy dropped the F-bomb. You could barely tell because he's so soft-spoken, but I forgot exactly what he said. He said it's something basically like, hell yeah, we fucking do, or hell fucking yeah, we're going to, or something like that.
But, and then he wanted to redo it, but he forgot it was live TV.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, we're live. And he's like, okay.
Freeman, interesting story. I think I was telling you about this earlier. Alex Anthropoulos had put a soft serve ice cream thing in the clubhouse because Freeman likes ice cream so much. Well, he had told Freeman if they won a fourth division title, he would put one in his home. Well, after they clinched tonight, apparently Freddie politely declined.
Yeah, see, I didn't see that. That must have been on Twitter or something.
I was on MLB.com, you know, Ken Bowman.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, like we said, he knew he couldn't have sons and children running around with a soft-serve ice cream machine in the house.
You talking about some jacked-up children.
He would wake up every morning with their face looking like a clown with vanilla and chocolate ice cream all over the face.
Absolutely.
It couldn't happen.
I've got to tell you, Alex Anthropoulos deserves to be General Manager of the Year. He has pulled off the trades that just...
Him or Dodgers general manager. It's not Preller. That's the Padres. I'm trying to think of...
Wasn't it the guy that...
I know his name. I'm not
wasn't he a Braves?
Their general manager?
Yeah.
Dodgers?
Wasn't he a Braves
he might have worked
executive
at some point.
Under Anthropoulos at one point? Or is that the Angels guy? I think that's the Angels, actually, because he let go of Pujols.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay. But anyways, what I was going to suggest here on the next topic would be like, let's go to the wild card, man. AL wild card.
Okay, but before we get out of Braves, what's going on right now? Okay, I'll admit, like, I'm Homer. We're both a Homer. When we say Riley for MVP, it's mostly joking. But we do think he will get a few votes.
I think he should get plenty of votes.
I mean, maybe, you know, some second, third place votes.
But he helped carry the team.
I'm not sure about the MVP process, but I know it's like the Baseball's Writers Association or something.
Yeah, it is, and a lot of times it's biased. Like the Hall of Fame voting
exactly.
For Curt Schilling. The man deserves to be in the Hall. He got 74.5%. You need 75 to get in the Hall, right?
Didn't that just recently change, though, when Larry Walker got put in the Hall?
Nope. It has to be 75. And with the candidacy they had on the ballot, it would have been the perfect time for Schilling to get in. But a lot of voters didn't vote for him
due
to politics.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean...
And because of how he treated the press.
Yeah, like we've... This is talked about with a lot of people when it comes to the Hall of Fame. If you're going to keep people out for personality, then most of the people within our standards from the whole 20th century, 19th century,
you got to take Babe Ruth out. You
none
take
of those
Ty
guys
Cobb.
Would be in there. Yeah, if we're going on personality from, you know, but
the Hall is for people who deserve to be there, and to keep them out because of your own political or personal biases. Really wrong.
But it's also, I think of it as a documentation of the game. It's like a timeline that you walk down of the game. So even people that are infamous and not necessarily Hall-worthy stat-wise, I feel like even have their place in the game. Like,
agree.
But with Curt Schilling, you ain't got that problem. He's got the numbers.
He's got the numbers. So, he's also, if you want to look at it from this.
You can't leave out the bloody sock.
That's actually
in 2004 when you talk about baseball history.
Okay.
When the Red Sox break that curse.
I mean, that's where I was about to go with it.
Yeah, you can't ignore that no matter what kind of shit he talks on Twitter.
I mean, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, man, but, I mean, that series, we've discussed it before on here, was one of the best series of all time. Going from 3-0 down to the Yankees, winning four straight games, you can't beat it.
Yeah, well, that was the World Series that year, just the same, and, of course, by us again, just the same as I feel like the Braves-Dodgers was the World Series last year in the 60-game playoff. Because everybody knew whoever won that was going to most likely beat the Rays. Dodgers did. They pounced the Rays.
Although we had that
series. We would have made it a lot closer. If the Braves played the Rays last year, it would have been a lot closer.
Definitely.
But I do believe that because of offense, they did not have offense outside of Rosarena last year.
That's correct.
We would have won that World Series. And in 2004, it was the same exact situation. The Reds, Yankees, ALCS, that was the World Series that year. And then they trounced the Cardinals.
That's correct. I mean, they went to town on them. But when you have Curt Schilling, you have, goodness gracious, I can't even think.
Pedro Martinez.
What was it, Josh?
Yeah.
Used to play for the...
2003 Marlins. Or might have been 2003.
No, it was 2003. They won it in three.
They won it in 97 2003. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Josh Beckett, Marlins, and Boston Red Sox. Yeah. So he won it 2 years in a row? Or did he come there a year later? For some reason, I think he was on the 2007, 2008
It might have been 2007 when he was on it, yeah.
So who else did they have on the mound? Lester was also later on. He wasn't 2004.
I mean, if you got a
knuckleballer, Boston Red Sox.
Lowe.
No, not Lowe.
Derek Lowe was on that too, wasn't he?
Derek Lowe, I think he might have been another later one, but he might have been on.
Are you talking about R.A. Dickey?
But not R.A. Dickey. Not Knobloch. That's a Yankee. The older, you know exactly who I'm talking about.
I do.
Come on.
Hey, give me a sec.
Yeah. It was just on an actual Netflix documentary I just watched recently.
I mean, you know, the thing is, that team was, if you got a 1-2 punch of Pedro Martinez and Curt Schilling, that's basically all you need.
There's some other main power pitcher that we're forgetting outside of the knuckleball.
And I have no idea why I can't even think. Okay, the pitchers were, Derek Lowe was on that team. I told you Derek Lowe was on that team.
Okay, well then he was. Okay, then it was probably Pedro
and also
Lowe.
Tim Wakefield. You're forgetting
Tim Wakefield.
Yeah,
this guy I'm talking about. Knuckleball. Okay. Well, that sells out. Tim Wakefield.
Yeah,
he's one of the best. And that's cool how the. Okay, we're getting way off topic. It's cool how the knuckleball guys always like. Remember R.A. That's the Netflix documentary I was talking about. How the knuckleball guys like R.A. Dickey. They always get it taught to them, that pitch taught to them by the guys above them, like Tim Wakefield taught R.A. Dickey taught whoever's using now, you know. But anyways, okay, next subject, NL, we were talking about AL or NL first?
No, we're going to go AL wild card, because that one right there, you've got the Yankees atop with a two-game lead over the Red Sox and the Mariners. The Mariners are actually tied with the Red Sox.
Yeah,
for the last spot in the NL wild
Blue Jays
card. But you got Blue
back.
Jays one game back.
I want the Blue Jays in it.
I want
the Mariners in
it. I want the Mariners versus the Blue Jays.
But I have a feeling it's not going to both happen.
But I do have a love for Boston, so I can't say anything.
Yeah.
Mainly because my beloved Braves come from Boston. You know how it goes.
If I had my, you know,
but the rest
ideal scenario, it's Mariners, Blue Jays, but... That's not going to happen. So we're going to have to root for the closest one.
I will say this. You've got the Yankees versus the Rays. Now, depending on whether the Rays decide to rest their starters, is dependent on whether the Yankees have a
Which
shot.
Which starters?
I'm not sure who exactly was up, but they would definitely – they've already clinched. Yeah, there's no point in actually. You can rest your good players for this three game series, but the question is, do you want to keep them hot too? Do you want to demolish the Yankees and keep them out of the playoffs? That's the key.
Nelson Cruz is going to be. He's going to play a big part for the Rays. Wander Franco just today ended the on base streak. I think Lou Gehrig was the other youngest player.
Really?
It was another guy that was like 20 something years old. I would have thought just out of the back of my mind that Lou Gehrig didn't start playing at that early of age. But it's somebody like him, like Lou. It's one of the old time greats.
It's not Mickey Mantle, is it?
No, it's it might actually be Robinson.
Jackie Robinson?
He's matched an all time great to start their season that young to, on base. And that's like 49 games in a row or 40 something games in a row.
All right, so this
guys,
is.
Guys, you got to forgive me. I'm throwing stats around.
This is who the Rays are pitching. And it's going to be against Cortez of the Yankees. It'll be McClanahan.
McClanahan, yeah.
He's 10-6, 3-44. Yeah, that's exactly what you just faced.
That's fine.
And then you've got Cortez 2-2 with a 2.85 ERA. So you got to wonder, are they going to put everybody out there against the Yankees, or are they going to rest their players? You never know. I know the Braves need to rest Morton and Fried.
Morton needs he needs
rest, period.
Big time.
Also, you want to set him up to either be game one starter. I think he should be game one starter instead of Fried.
That's fine. Let's see. What we need to do? We need to look at the Brewers lineup a little bit more.
I think we do.
And see exactly who we're facing. Because I know they got some guys coming through that aren't exactly like big name star guys. And earlier in the season, Willy Adames was having an MVP year, especially for him. And I think they've got this Pena guy that's doing really good. Their lineups, I would say we got the offensive advantage. They got the pitching advantage.
I don't know. We're right up there with them on pitching.
Exactly.
It's our bullpen.
We're sneaking in.
No, it's our bullpen that is suspect compared to their bullpen. It's solid.
That's what I was thinking. But also, Devin Williams just done the exact same thing Yanoa done.
Really?
Yep, Devin Williams came in and punched a wall.
Broke his hand, didn't he?
I don't think he broke his hand, so he's not going to be out. In other words, he might be out for one series, two series, who knows. But it would be nice if he was out for at least as long as we played.
Well, that would be good. That would be ideal. But
we got three more games. After that, the Brewers are going to have to submit their roster for that. And then if they make it past us, then they can put him in the next roster for the next
series. Right.
So hopefully he just misses that one and
we can do
our job.
Now, we're talking about the AL wildcard, and you've got Seattle, who is really a surprise this year.
Yeah.
I mean, even their president made those comments before the season started, and you know, you didn't see them sneaking in like this.
No.
And there is a dream scenario.
I've seen them having an upwards mobility type season where they're going up with their rebuild. Everything's improving, but still maybe second, third in their division. No, they've not settled for that. Like they might mess around and get some postseason experience this year, kind of like the Braves did in 18.
Yeah.
Like not completely ready to compete, but got to sneak in, get a little experience under your belt. That would be really good for their young pitchers like Logan Gilbert, Marco Gonzalez, another good lefty that does really well that's went under the radar, and Kelenic, all those guys, get them some.
Definitely, ABs. They definitely need some at bats in the playoffs. But here's what I'm going to say about that. Now you have got Boston versus the Nationals. You have got Seattle versus the Angels minus Trout, of course. So, you really have two teams that could end up, after a three-game series, tied for the last spot. You also can't discount the Blue Jays.
Yeah, they could be a massive road jam there, if you really want to get
now,
technical.
Now, if the Yankees lose, you know, get swept.
If they lose two out of three.
Two out of three, at least.
Yeah.
There could be a log jam in the wild card situation.
I'd rather Boston get in the Yankees.
Of course, I would too.
But the Yankees are ahead of Boston. You said it's two games. I would think that it would be one, but I'll take your word for it. It's two games.
I'm going off of MLB.com standings.
We don't do our research very
well. We really don't.
I go off of memory from seeing it constantly.
Yes, exactly. But this is where we're at right now.
Okay, Toronto, it says they're one game back in wild card.
It says that we're 0.5 just earlier, but I guess they're one game back. New York's plus two. Boston, Seattle, even at behind two. Well, no, so they both technically right now, if it ended today, they would have to be a 163 between
there's a
Boston
game playoff.
And Seattle.
Yeah. And then you still have to go into that one-game playoff with the Yankees.
I think Toronto might not have – unless Seattle –
or Boston.
Okay.
Don't let the Nationals fool you.
Who does Boston play?
They play the Nationals.
Oh, okay.
But think about it this way. What did you say when we were talking about the Mariners playing the Angels? What do? You walk Ohtani. Don't give him the chance to beat
you. Yeah.
Now, the question is Ohtani pitching in this series? That's the question.
I don't know. I've already seen tweets where Ohtani and the Angels have agreed that he's shut down for the rest of the season, so he won't be starting. We now know that for a fact. The Angels announced that.
Okay, so they are definitely shutting him down for the rest of the season. Okay.
And they even opposite from that, when it comes to the Braves playing the Mets, they kind of teased that DeGrom might come back just to throw a couple innings, similar to what they did with Syndergaard.
I'll be honest with you, I'd like to see it.
If it weren't playing us, even though we've clinched our, Well, no. Matter of fact, we do need to see some good pitching.
Right before we go into the playoffs.
Yeah. Okay. But Syndergaard, I think he pitched two innings. I know they didn't let him go no longer than that. But he came back, and I watched three at-bats, and he struck out two of the three batters he faced.
So he looked solid.
He looked – and his fastball at 96 was running like it looked like 101.
For real.
It was electric. He looked pretty good. He looked fresh.
All right, so
ending, he might be a problem next
ending
year.
Ending prediction here, Hunter. Ending prediction on the AL wild card. What is your call?
Okay, so either the Blue Jays or the Mariners, one's got to lose out, and it could be just Boston and New York. I think New York holds it. They get one for sure.
Right.
And you said Boston was playing the Nats. So
they're playing the Nats.
That's two out of three right
Mariners
there.
Mariners got the Angels.
The Angels.
Minus
okay, look, Trout. Look, Mariners win two out of three in that series. And Boston at least wins two out of three against the Nats.
I think they could sweep.
But they could sweep, yeah. But I think it's two out of three guaranteed for both. I think the Blue Jays lose out, unfortunately.
Let's see. I'm going to find out.
Not lose
Blue
out
Jays
as in lose
playing.
All the rest of their games. But I think they're going to miss out.
And that's a shame because they have a really good daggum
offense. I want to see them in the post.
I mean, I would love to see the Mariners versus the Blue Jays. That would be my ideal series because we've seen Yankees, Red Sox so many times.
Yeah.
It's just unreal.
I mean, that's still a good series.
Oh, it's a great series. Great series.
It's not a series. It's a ball game.
Like I said, we've already talked about how I hate the one-game playoff and it needs to be a three-game playoff.
They done it right last year.
But then they messed it up again this year.
Well, no, they done it right by making the three-game wild card and then still messed it up by making the divisional teams play a three-game wild card.
Oh, and by the way, the Blue Jays have the Orioles. So that could be a sweep. Oh, that could be a daggum sweep. This is not over by no means.
Huh.
So you've got
so
three
they're
good,
all basically guaranteed to win two out of three games. Okay, so I think the biggest chip is on the Mariners, but also – I don't think they expected none of this, so they're just playing on house money.
And I like that.
Yeah.
I like when you're just playing on house money. Like you said,
and
2018,
the Angels
man, we weren't supposed to be there. We weren't supposed to be there in 2018.
The Angels don't care, the Nats don't care, nor Orioles care. The only person that cares on the Orioles is probably Trey Mancini and Mountcastle. He's been hitting a couple bombs here.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Mountcastle, he should win Rookie of the Year and for the AL, and then Aroldis Garcia or whatever. For the Rangers, for the NL?
Yeah.
Maybe.
You mean for the AL?
Yeah. Rangers. Why does Rangers sound NL in my head?
Well, I mean,
Texas Rangers sounds like a National League ball team.
It seems like a National League ball team. I mean, but it was...
But the Houston Astros...
They used to be the NL, and then they went to the AL West, actually.
Yeah, I know, but that's something... I don't know, it seems off to me. But yeah, they're both in AL West. So.
Yeah.
Anyways. Or, for the AL, Rosarena's got a shot, too.
Completely agree with that.
There's a lot of guys in the AL that have a shot, I feel like, at the rookie of the year.
Definitely. But what I'm going to say, since we're on the wild cards, and we have discussed the AL thoroughly... The NL is already locked up, basically. So how do you feel about what's going on in the NL wild card, the one-game playoff between probably the Dodgers and the Cards?
No, probably. Like we said, the it's three games left. Dodgers two games back. Yeah, it's going to be Dodgers-Cards. What I'm interested in, I've already seen that the Cardinals have come out and said Wainwright, he's their guy. Good They're Lord. Going to him. No, I mean
dude, he's got play. No, he's got playoff experience. That's one. He is an awesome pitcher. I mean, the man deserves to be in the Hall.
And him and Molina behind the plate just have such a chemistry that they're like, I don't know, just poetry in motion type.
It really
shit.
Is.
Yeah. So I mean, they've got that going for them. Normally you would think Flaherty would take this start, and I would want him to, but. They're slowly bringing him back from, I'm pretty sure he was injured. He came back and threw like a, they've been kind of piecing him in the rotation a little bit. He's going to have to be a part of that if they do beat the Dodgers and continue on without Flaherty in that conversation, then there's nowhere.
Well, see, what I want you to think about is
that would mean the Dodgers get a free ticket to the CS.
Essentially, yeah. So what you got to look at with Flaherty, you know he was at Westlake High School with Max Fried.
Yeah, him and Giolito.
That's right. Yeah,
the big
exactly.
reason I got to like the White Sox so much.
So look at it this way, man. And it's kind of interesting because Flaherty got injured.
Yeah.
Fried was injured.
Yeah.
That's why he started off so bad this year.
And you can probably, without even looking, guess that Giolito was probably injured too.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I don't see the connection between them. But yeah, every pitcher has been injured for at least a 10-15 game stand.
Except for Morton, who has stayed healthy all season.
Yeah, that's why we signed him for next year.
And the next year, if there's an option for 2 years from now. So we'll have him next year for 20 mil. Then the year after that, if we need him.
I don't feel like he's going to be worth 20 mil the year after that. He might be worth 20 mil next year, but the year after that.
I don't know, man. He's a workhorse.
I think he can hold up, and his pitching style holds up to where he can switch it up. You know, throw you the change up, throw you the curveball.
Right.
You know, I mean, his pitching style holds up.
So Wainwright is a great choice, I believe. Honestly,
he's their only choice.
Him and Molina.
Until we see more about the Flaherty situation, it's Wainwright and Molina.
I mean, that's a given.
Yeah, and I think they got a good shot at that because the Dodgers' kryptonite is curveballs.
Yes,
it
is.
Literally, it might cost Cody Bellinger $200 million one day, the curveball.
I agree.
I mean, seriously. Like,
I mean, look, you
when
can
his
hit
contract
fast...
comes up, it, that
the,
might be what
the
costs.
Main ammo you can use against him is he can't hit a curveball.
Not just that. He's got a lot of problems going on. But that's one of the main things with a lot of the Dodgers hitters is my point. They're one of the worst teams in the league versus the curveball, but especially that lefty curveball, which is the reason also on the other side of the ball why Luis Urias has been so dominant with that lefty off-speed. And that he's got a high 90s fastball, too. He's dominant, man. He's 19-2. I seen some random stat where he's the first Dodger to lead, have 19 wins in so long. But, I mean, you'd think Kershaw would be a lefty that have got 19 wins for them.
You would have thought, man.
Probably.
You would have thought he'd hit the 20-win like marker at least once.
I bring up random stats that I've only remember half of.
But
so,
then again, I want you to think about it this way, though. You look at how dominant Kershaw's been for over a decade.
Yeah, but...
I mean, this guy is tops.
But
and then there's
if
Mad
you don't
Max.
Feel comfortable putting him in a playoff position, though...
He does kind of bomb in the playoffs. But you've got Mad Max that's probably going on the mound.
He done well, even though I think we won the game that we faced against Kershaw last year in the CS.
Yeah, Bryce Wilson beat him.
He still pitched well that game.
Wilson went six innings and beat him.
It wasn't on him.
I mean,
though.
That is rough. I mean, that's amazing for a rookie to go in there and beat the best pitcher in baseball, dude.
Let's see. The Rays, they won two games in the World Series, didn't they?
Yeah, two games. They were playing for a game.
Was one
six.
Of them a Kershaw game? Let's find that out.
Kershaw won a start in the World Series, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, so best case scenario in your mind, right?
Yeah.
How do you feel these teams match up?
With devil magic in the air, apparently.
Right.
Cardinals, devil magic, yeah. Fuck it. I would love for the Cardinals to win 17 games in a row and then
no,
go
the streak's already
for
broken
a game.
On that.
I know. It broke at 17 games. Yep. Brewers finally won a game. Yeah, I would love for them to go in with that energy and knock out the Cardinals because in the end, they go and play the Giants. We've seen that we can play ball with the Giants. The Dodgers, they're hard to beat at their stadium. I believe in us. If we played seven games at Truist,
we win that series easily.
Maybe, but I would at least feel confident that we could play the Dodgers.
But us playing in the latrine, dude,
that's
bad.
You just can't win in that stadium. And
our record there is pathetic.
Yeah, the Braves can't win there. But, let's
We're going to take a break here. I don't want to lose our place, so we're going to get back on we'll finish up
the
thought when we come back.
We're going to get back on this Dodgers-Cardinals series because I've got a couple more thoughts on it.
But we are going to take a break and hear a word from our sponsor, Anchor, and we'll talk with y'all in just a little bit.
All right, stick with us. Welcome back, guys. So, anyways, Cardinals-Dodgers. Talking about Wainwright, he's definitively, there's a fact, he's starting for the Cardinals. What do you think about the Dodgers not starting Scherzer and starting Buehler just pitched. He's not on the slate for the rest of the season, I don't think. They're going to have all those guys ready, lined up to go out of the shootout of the bullpen. I think all of them might get a couple wins if it goes crazy.
If it were me, and I'm in a one-game playoff, right, it is do or die, okay? I want you to think I would use each one of my starters.
I think I start with Mad Max and then possibility of, like, bringing him out in, like, the third or fourth inning and completely switching the whole entire game up and bring Urias in. And let him try to go 3-4, get to 7-8.
Right, bring in Kershaw to shut it down.
I think that's what you got to do against the Cardinals because they're hitting hot right now. Their right-handers are hitting right-hand pitching real well. Dylan Carlson's he's a switch hitter. He's hitting right-handed pitching really well. Their hitting's what's on. You got to dominate. You got to switch it up on them. You notice how sometimes when there'll be bullpen games or both teams will have a bullpen game, you know, it's like, okay, I need to bet the over today. Somebody's going to score 8 runs, 10 runs, and it'll be a close ball game. That's because of so many different arm angles, so many different pitchers coming in, batters, so many, not having time to form a game plan. I feel like the Dodgers need to do that because they have the option to do that. They need to come in with Scherzer. For 2-3 innings, throwing hard, throwing that two-seam that's running away from batters, right-handed batters, going in, backdoor sliders on left-handed batters, and then bring in Urias, and then just stun them for 7-8 innings with those two. And then go to your bullpen. You've got Gratterall, you've got Knable, you've got Joe Kelly. That if I'm the Dodgers, that's the – how would you go if you're the Cardinals to counter that?
Well,
or
I mean,
what would you do as the Dodgers?
I mean, obviously, Wainwright's got that kind of pitching style that
he can go 7-8 innings and not throw that many pitches.
That's right. And not to mention, his pitching style is what throws the Dodgers hitting off.
Yes.
I mean, you look at what Bryce Wilson did. he doesn't even have all that great of stuff. He's a decent, maybe a number three or four.
He attacked them, though. That was the difference. He bulldogged them. He was throwing fastballs down the zone. Wainwright's going to be lobbing pitches in the zone.
Well, if you have off-speed stuff like Wainwright does, you really don't have to have a really great fastball or anything.
You've still got to be, like all off-speed pitchers, you've still got to be able to have a fastball that you can place exactly where you want it, whether it be fast or not.
But like I said,
94, place it where you want it.
Like I said, his pitching style is exactly what you need to counter the Dodgers' bats.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, I mean,
if he was a lefty, it'd be even better. I think Max Fried would do really well if he was having to start against them. And just in a vacuum, just say hit.
Very true. And I want to say this. Like, last year, his starts not against the Dodgers, you know, obviously, he had pitched the whole season. He was carrying the team. You knew when Fried came up, you're getting that win.
He pitched in that. My memory's so bad. He pitched in that three-game series against the Dodgers we had.
He took losses.
Okay, that's what.
He was also exhausted. He was the only one of the pitchers to pitch all season.
Yeah, well, right after that's when he picked. He was doing good before that. He had that bump, and that was one of the only bumps in the road. He's been, you know, I started thinking about this too. The NL Cy Young, who exactly? I guess that's got to end up going to.
It does not have to be going to DeGrom.
It's not. That's not happening. He's missed too much of the season.
But also, he had great stats.
Has amazing stats, but he only threw 91 innings.
Yeah, that's not going to get you qualified. I don't even think that qualifies for the
Cy Young. No, you can't. That don't even qualify you for most stats.
Well, I don't know. As a reliever, if you were a reliever
and you threw 91 innings.
Yeah, definitely. But.
What was I just talking about right before that? Okay, NL Cy Young. Okay, my homer brain goes to Atlanta, and I think, well, you know, Freed's done this and that. Now I start thinking, wait, but he's Luis Urias.
Well, he's 14-7.
I remember 19-2 Luis Urias, and I think, no, he deserves it.
No, he really does. I agree, but you got to look at Freed's stats over the last 3 years.
He's thrown two Maddoxes in the last, I think, five weeks. I gave it a 6 week period.
It's a five week start period.
I think.
Yeah, he literally over the last five games has thrown two Maddoxes, which is very, very, very impressive.
It is, but I don't think you can downplay what the Dodgers pitching staff does. And now that I think about it, hell, even Mad Max, even though he's been a little, I've watched his last.
He's been inconsistent this year.
Yeah, but he's also came in and the Dodgers have won basically every game they've had Trey Turner or Mad Max in, they've won. And so he's come through and been the best acquisition you could get if you're the Dodgers.
I mean, most definitely, you got two Cy Young Award winners on that staff.
Yeah, and then you got Walker Buehler. Could be one. I mean, for all I know, he might.
I don't think he's
getting. My point is, for a while, it was like Wheeler and then who else? Like, we were talking about maybe Max Scherzer, somebody like him.
I would say.
So now, I think Urias, stat-wise and everything, he's the front runner.
But also, let's not discount Fried quite yet. Because now are they? I can't remember if they're doing the voting before or after the playoffs.
Well, see, with the voting last year, Freeman done well, but he didn't necessarily dominate the playoffs.
He carried the team though.
Marcelo Ozuna did carry the team in the playoffs.
And honestly, if you're talking about that, which we'll get on that in a minute, but back to the Cy Young, I've got to say Urias.
He's got to be just based on his WAR that record, he's put up as a lefty.
Record, ERA, so forth,
and
so on.
You know what? He's kind of like a pitching version of like breakout Austin Riley because both of them both had their first taste of the playoff. Actually, I think Urias in 2019 did pop up for a second. So, well, Riley did too.
Yes, he did.
Was he in the playoffs in 2019? I don't think so. I think
no.
Maybe.
Last year?
Yes. Against the Cardinals, was Riley in the playoffs?
I don't believe
no,
so.
No, we had Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, we had Donaldson in third, yeah.
Okay, so both Urias and from a batter pitcher perspective, they both had breakout years. But, I think Urias is a lot more – he's made his case for for Cy Young. MVP is just way up in the air. I know people are thinking Bryce Harper, Soto, Tatis. Tatis can't have it.
Honestly, it was between Bryce Harper and Tatis.
But he can't.
But Soto wasn't really in the mix there.
Tatis can't have done what he's done. He's played 130 games. He had a home run tonight out of Dodger Stadium, completely out of the stadium.
He hit it out of the latrine.
Holy crap. Over the pavilion, or bounced on top of the pavilion. Look, he's a great hitter. He's going to be MVP several times. You can't have an MVP season while getting pulled from your position because you can't throw the ball from first. Being tried out in, center field, right field.
Well, you also got to think.
He's going to get it someday
when
soon.
When the DH comes into play, they're going to DH him. They don't want him out in the field getting hurt. I would DH him.
For that much money, yeah, but he's too athletic. You can't just DH a guy like that should be able – should be able to play shortstop, second base at an elite level, should be able to play center field at an elite level. You can't waste that, but if it's what you got to do to keep him healthy, that's what you got to do.
Well, the way I look at it is, honestly, it's between Bryce Harper, Tatis. Let's not, like I said, discount Riley's contributions. His season's been amazing, stat-wise. And, I mean, yeah, he doesn't have that sexy home run bomb, on his resume. But he is over 30 home runs.
Well, a lot of guys.
Sitting at, 33 now?
Well, Harper's not hit a bunch this year. It's not like that. The home runs aren't the problem because, Tatis, he's got like 40, some a little over 40. But that's all he's been. I won't say it's all he's been doing because I watch a lot of Padres games, but not all Padres games. But I watch all Braves games, and I do see what Austin Riley's doing.
Okay,
and the man's been hitting the ball all over the field all year long. I mean, here lately, these past few games is the only time I've felt, other than early in the season, like he's been through a slump. And it's been like two games, and during that time, during the first game, he got an RBI double that scored two runs. Next game, got a bloop hit that scored an RBI in game two. And I was considering that his slump.
That's a pretty damn good slump, ain't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if we just think about next year, if we get this Austin Riley or even more improved, plus you have Acuna and then pray to God Freddie back, that's three MVPs.
I mean, honestly, dude, they're not letting Freeman leave. They're not going to let Freeman leave. They know the fan base will go freaking nuts.
We would, but the problem is we would still be back because there's still an entertaining team there without him.
I mean, we're always going to support the team, but the factor is he's the cornerstone. He's the franchise.
He is.
He is Chipper Jones.
No question.
You want that guy in that uniform until he steps off that field, takes his hat off on his last game. That's what you want to see. You want to see that farewell tour. You've seen what happened with Chipper. And how much a team that he even named
and
his
Jeter
son.
Too. Jeter
yeah,
was the
exactly.
Same way. A lot of guys are whether they play for the same team or not. Mariano was the same way.
I mean, would I have liked to see Smoltz retire in a Braves uniform? Heck yeah, I would. Instead of a Cardinals uniform.
Not to mention Glavin going to the Mets too.
And then he came back and crapped the bed. And I mean, if you could have kept that core rotation together till they all retired, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that would have been what's best for the team because at a certain point, we had guys that had to come up.
Yeah, exactly. But still, when you got those three, that's all you need. But anyways, back to what we were saying about the Cy Young and the MVP. Riley, to me, a MVP is not the guy with the best stats all the time. It is the guy that helps his team, carries his team to glory.
Yeah, see, I look at it as a most valuable as to what part they played in their team's success. And I know that's not how most people view it. And in the back of my mind, that's not how I view it anymore either. I still look at stats and think about, looking at Vladdy and Otani.
I didn't say discount the stats, dude. I didn't say discount stats.
No, I'm not. But you know what I mean? Like, the winning ball team needs the MVP type shit is what we're talking about. And there's still a part of me that thinks that But okay, well, in this situation, if it's between Tatis, Soto, Freeman, or not Freeman, Soto, Tatis, Harper,
Riley.
Then, okay, yeah. Well, let's just say it's between those three. Those are all.
And Freeman's going to get votes too. Okay, so that's a given.
But those are all ball clubs that have been in free fall. So if one of those win it, it'll be a sure thing and sets a precedent that this is no longer about if your team's winning.
Okay, well, you don't necessarily have to, you know, make the playoffs to be an MVP.
It's what you did
to help your team win.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
It's not personal accolades. It should be about what you contributed.
Okay, and
to
Harper,
your team.
I'll be honest, on the
Harper
Philly
carried the Phillies.
On the Phillies subreddit and on the Braves subreddit, I said the same thing, that if I had a vote, I would vote Harper right now over Tatis, over Soto, over anybody else, even over Riley, if I had the homer vote and who got it, because that's who I believe deserved it. But then you have your own destiny walking into Truist Park. It's Bryce Harper, Real Muto, it's Didi McCutch versus Riley, you know, I mean, Riley Freeman, Soler, Duvall. It's the big time, and he went 0-for the whole series. And Real Muto
got
snuck
one
in a bomb.
Yeah.
And
off
if
of
not
free.
For that, yeah, he would have been.
No, yeah, it wasn't off of free. I mean, it was off of Anderson, wasn't it? Or was it off of free?
I think it was against a reliever, maybe. No, it was against Jackson.
It was against Jackson. You're right. You're right.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, should that tell the whole tale of the whole season? No, but that does say something, because Austin Riley come through several times, not only with his blue base hit in game two, and not only with his double in game one, where, like I said, I felt he was slumping up to this
and that
point
beautiful
in time.
Bat
and
flip.
And then a home run.
Oh,
tonight.
My
like,
God, it was so beautiful.
Yeah, even when he's making wild swings at the plate, he still finds a way to contribute.
And you've seen it look like he swung one hand and then just released the bat.
Yeah, and can you believe that that there's statistics saying that from April up until like July, up until like summer, that Austin Riley was the worst defensive position player in baseball?
I think those are bullshit lies.
No, look, he did go through a period where he was throwing the ball wildly to first, and that was screwing with him, and he still every now and then does that.
But at least you got Freeman over there to catch it.
I don't know if it's eye test or bullshit or what, but you can't tell me he's the worst defensive player in the league during that time. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's something I'm missing there. There probably
You're
is.
Not missing. It's just bull.
I don't know. Well, I mean, there's several guys like you can't trust. You can trust WAR, and I look at WAR as a statement, but I also look at traditional stats and the eye test. But there's a couple guys when you line their WAR up together and compare them, you're like, okay, I know this guy's got the higher WAR, but they have not had the same season, so this cannot be trusted, but so much.
Okay, and you know, we were talking about Arenado, right? And me and you, we were playing the show. Well, you were playing the show. I was actually just watching. And you were telling me that San Diego Studios put out there in Colorado. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it.
Yeah, I'm stupid for just now noticing this. Not long ago, a friend texted me and pointed it out and said, go play Colorado and Conquest on the show. And right as you walk up to the plate, there's Fire Jeff Bertrich on the sideline, like they would have a MLB or something like that.
Yeah.
Big sign saying that for, you know, giving away Arenado plus $80 million.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to trade my best player, one, and then pay you $80 million for him to play. Well, not, on another team.
Look, that's the reason they gave him an opt-out when they didn't have to this year. And he's already come out and said he's playing for the Cardinals next year. He doesn't have to do that, but he's came out officially and said, yes, I'm going. Because he's got the option for next year to opt out. And the reason the Rockies gave him that is to, if they weren't in contention, to get out of their contract with him.
Yeah.
Which is why they paid the, you know, the
Cardinals to take him.
But at the same time, I don't want you to think about it.
And Trevor Story had tears when he was talking about...
Oh, gosh.
When he was talking about leaving, he was talking about Brandon Rodgers and Ryan McMahon and CJ Cron and them trying to find their own path in such a desolate ball club that has no future.
You go up with an organization and you have some players on there that are absolutely amazing. I mean, Trevor Story is an amazing, amazing player.
Yeah.
Great offensive.
Dude, and imagine they had Tula Whiskey during that time, too.
Oh, yeah.
In a way, which, that, you know, he ended up getting injured. That was a whole different situation.
Dude,
they've had some massive talents, position players.
But when you have Cronsworth, you have McMahon, you have Story, you should have a good enough power team there. They should be doing more than what they're doing.
Cronenworth, Padres, CJ Cron.
I meant Cron. You know what I meant.
Yeah. No, they do got the power. That's what I'm saying. That's why when they play at Coors, they got an awesome record. Because, yeah, they can hit the ball out of there.
Anybody can hit a ball out of Coors.
Blackman, too. Yeah.
How did I forget Charlie Blackman?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you look, there's five players right there.
He's probably been there the longest of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, he really has, honestly. But the thing is, if I had been the Rockies, I would have given him a contract a long time ago, Story, and locked him up.
Oh, Story. Because if you got to focus on between the two of Arenado or Story, during the time they gave the contract to Arenado, you know, you're focusing on him. It makes sense to go for him, but like I said, they put the opt-out in there for a reason. But Trevor Story is already talking to the press and talking to everybody as if he already knows there's no option.
Oh, he knows he's not coming back.
He knows the Colorado Rockies aren't doing the same thing they done with Arenado.
And that's got to trade. And that would have to tick you off, but it's the same thing with me.
They didn't trade him for nothing.
No, they didn't.
They didn't get nothing.
They got
nothing.
They're
going to get a draft pick.
That's it, and that's worthless.
I mean, maybe. You know,
possibly. And the way they draft is pretty worthless. It's like watching.
They've drafted good. They've drafted Story and Arenado. I mean,
well, you get lucky every once in a while. I'll say that. But if you don't have that drafting skill like AA does, man, I'm telling you. And the Phillies are just screwed. They rely on it, you know, bringing people in. They can't draft. They can't. They can't develop. You know. But anyways, so
I was telling somebody the other day that brought that same thing up because there was luckily on Reddit, the Phillies and the Braves both kind of got the mods. We posted enough about it until they make it a trash talk thread for this series. So the Phillies subreddit for the first two games hosted the trash talk thread, and we hosted it on the tonight? By the fifth, sixth inning of game one in the Phillies subreddit, all the Phillies fans stopped commenting. And
probably.
It was only Braves friends trashing Philly in their own subreddit, approved by the mods. Because it's a trash talk thread. We were both here to talk shit.
Yeah.
But since Philly was out, well, you know, until the ninth inning in game one where things got interesting.
Which, by the way, kudos to Will Smith.
Yeah.
He pulled a Kimbrel. Kimbrel versus Craig.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Kimbrel would load the bases and then just strike out the side. But he ain't Kimbrel.
Yeah, boy, he don't got Kimbrel stuff.
He does not have Kimbrel stuff. But at least he got out of it and then shut it down the rest of the series. Kudos to him.
Yeah.
I do give the guy a lot of shit, and I do.
Well, I've told you before, it's not his fault. It's not.
Okay, but let's look at it this way. We're talking about.
He's
not the one that's making the decision to throw him out there every night.
But he is the type of guy that's got the attitude of, okay, I'm a closer, that's what I do, that's what I'm not, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
But last year he didn't do that because guess what? We had several closers last year.
He also started off the season with COVID as well.
Yeah, but he was closer. We were closer by committee because, you know,
and Melanson,
we had closers.
Melanson has a great record this year stat-wise. You know what I mean? But it apparently hadn't been that easy for him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, it saves. I mean,
no, he's got a lot of saves, but
good.
He's also not doing.
It just don't show the true story.
Okay, the saves, of course, are masking that most of his saves have come with a little bit of difficulty. And how many does Smith have? What, 38 now? Is that about right? 38?
He's
37. 37. Okay, sure. I thought I was close enough. Yeah.
He kind of Melanson kind of went down in saves as he was starting to go up, but they've all been stressful, and people can see that. I'm not against Will Smith saving the game. It's a situational fucking thing. Like, there's obvious circumstances when we're up one or two runs,
And in his contract, it clearly says, give me one run.
Where anybody that can just throw the ball down the plate at 96 miles an hour and have a decent slider goes in there. Even Chris Martin, who can give up a run every now and then.
He gives up plenty now.
I know. He's been rough here lately, but
I don't think he makes the playoff roster.
I'm just saying there's so many chances where you can just see that, okay, if we just go a different route tonight, things will be easy, and then maybe tomorrow he can – you know what I'm saying? Like,
I get it. But
every night you're going to try to kill me?
What kills me?
Will Smith might kill me.
I know. He gives me a heart attack almost.
I'm dead serious.
Man. I mean, no, he literally – Will Smith. Like I've told the fans here so many times, right, that basically – if you watch Braves game in the ninth, if you have a heart condition, please do not watch it because you will end up having a fucking heart attack.
Take your aspirin or Tylenol regimen or whatever you recommend.
Definitely, because it's insane. But, you know, the next 2 days his saves were, I believe, a lot easier. The good thing.
Okay, so we got Brewers. We got the Brew Crew coming. What do we do about that?
Well,
like we said, Williams is hurt. I wonder what their starting rotation, how healthy they are. Because Woodford, I've not heard much about him here lately. Peralta, and then Burns. Burns, I guess, will be their number one, maybe.
I'm betting on that. That's Burns who I would start. Morton. Yeah, I would go that route. And I know a lot of people are thinking that Freed deserves a crack at being the they're both aces. Charlie is an ace, so is dadgum Freed, but Morton has the playoff experience and has a good record in the playoff.
Not just that, if we lose the game with Corbin Burns pitching, we need to have Freed out there the next day to be able to gain
even
that
the series
back. So I mean, you don't necessarily want to match up your best pitcher with their best pitcher.
You want to have that safety net.
It comes out to where, like, if we're going to beat Burns, we're either going to beat him by hitting the ball or we're not. And if we do that and we throw a guy out there on the mound that can keep him to two or three runs, we're going to have to score that to beat Corbin Burns anyways.
Absolutely.
So it's that type of mindset.
Well, you know, and I want to say something here because and it's popping up right on the screen. You know, this is the perfect time for the Braves.
Hank Aaron,
Milwaukee.
Hank Aaron passes, Milwaukee Braves.
Versus the Braves, yeah. And also, you know,
it's a good storyline.
I'm really glad to see him clinch. I'm glad to see him come back. That Romy one-on was amazing. Thank goodness they pulled it off. Great trades and all that. But for it to happen on the year where Hank Aaron passed away, that's the catalyst there. That's what we wanted to see. So, and I'd also like to say, you know, our prayers are with his family. Hank Aaron meant a lot to the organization. And I've heard that call by Vin Scully so many times when he broke the record, when he broke the Babe's record.
You know what? It would have been amazing to have grew up and seen him play, but also we sucked during that time, so I'm glad we didn't.
I know, but at the same time, to see greatness, though, man, is key.
We're watching it all the time, bro. We're very lucky as Braves fans. And that's another thing I realized when I was going through that Phillies sub and that Phillies trash talk sub and then went back and read theirs. Yeah, I realized, man, we're extremely lucky to have had the success that we have.
Agreed.
It's been 10 years since they've had a over 500 record. They've got the longest playoff drought beside the Mariners, who have the way better possibility than they, you know, they have no possibility now. But I mean, that's, I mean, they're rooting for the Mariners too, from what I can see, at least on Reddit. But I don't know. I kind of feel bad for them in a weird way, because I know all they want to do is sniff the playoffs. They should have done it last year when the Marlins snuck in, so we could have beat them in the NLDS instead of.
That would have been nice.
Yeah, that would have been the ideal. But yeah, I don't know. It's just that. Okay, this, like I was telling this dude last night, even in the baseball hobby collecting community, guys that pay big money for prospects from teams, their autographs and cards, they won't pay money for Phillies prospects because they know they come from the Phillies organization and won't pan out. That's how deep-rooted the Phillies. And there's an article that just came out the day after that, today, about the Phillies rehauling their developmental staff.
I mean, you have to, because they're not getting the job done.
But it's bad when it's that deep-rooted to where gambling addicts who open $5,000 packs of baseball cards won't spend money on you.
I mean, I know.
I mean,
yeah. You know, it is what it is. That organization, the owner, John Middleton, needs to just stay out of it. Because what he did was what is that guy's name?
Middleton, GM or owner?
No, he's the owner.
Okay.
I'm thinking, you know, they brought in Dave Dombrowski.
No, Klintak.
Matt Klintak, yeah, really screwed this team up for at least another couple of years, because when he did his rebuild, he said it'd be a 4-year rebuild. Well, you're not the Braves. You can't develop talent like we do, okay? That was a problem during the Frank Wren situation, was because he was giving away our prospects. He depleted our farm system. But, you know, you bring in John Capoalla and John Hart, right? They start rebuilding in the right way, but, of course, they did some things that they shouldn't have done. But glad they got let go, because that brought in Anthopoulos, who is just an absolute genius. Genius.
Imagine if they would have tried to steal Acuna from us because of that international scandal
thing. Oh, there'd have been riots in Atlanta.
No, we wouldn't country. Even have known when. By the time it happens, it would have been like right before he came up. But Anthopoulos, he's done us very well, and he's we've not really got rid of that much prospect capital. Many of the guys we've gave away, like we gave away Colby Allard for Chris Martin.
Yep.
Which and it's a similar situation what happened with Bryce and Dickerod, because Richard Rodriguez has 1 year left this year and 1 year left. Chris Martin had this year and 1 year left when we traded Colby Allard, four A starting pitcher that we were trying out.
Right.
Apparently, we decided he wasn't going to work. We traded him for Chris Martin. We did the same thing with Bryce Wilson, and Allard didn't work out. So,
but I feel like Bryce has got a future, man. I really do. He needs to get a third pitch.
He may. He's going to get plenty of chances.
No, he needs a third pitch, though.
So does Ian Anderson.
Yeah, he does. But Ian's
I'm not looking forward to seeing him in a game 3, I'm going to be honest.
I'm going to be honest with you. I feel pretty good about it. I feel good that he got some experience last year. But yeah. The downside was he was playing in front of no fans. Now, fans make a huge difference in a pitcher's mentality. Because if you're playing in front of no one.
Ooh, I just thought about this.
What is it?
Okay, game 1 and 2 in Milwaukee, Morton and Freed. So, yeah, we would come home game 3 either going with Yanoa or Ian Anderson.
I'm going with Anderson. You know, it's been so.
There wasn't a crowd. There was a minor crowd because it was in Texas and it was allowed to have a small portion of
people. Now, he had a good start in the NLCS, though.
1 of 2.
Yeah, he did pretty good in the first start in the NLCS, though.
Yeah, we won the first 2 games. I mean, yeah. He's not that same pitcher at the moment, though.
And that was, like you said, because
he's got something shoulder going on. He's not the exact same pitcher. Or he's the same guy. He's just not figured it back out yet. Not in that same.
Yeah, and Yanoa has the potential.
Yanoa, I feel like if he pitched, he would give up two to three runs. But I feel like he would keep it at that, and he's got the stuff to.
He has to get out of his own head, though. He's got the stuff.
Yeah, he's very
he's faulty, like, exactly. Now, has faulty done anything since he left, or is he still crapping the bed?
Rangers, as far as I know, got Allard and faulty both in their rotation, and neither one looking too good. I think Allard looking
now Gosman. Worst. Gosman, on the other hand. He pitched us, and then he goes up there.
He
and
learned another pitch. Someone taught him another pitch.
And that sucks because, really, imagine if he'd have been in our lineup this year.
Oh, I know.
I mean, in our rotation, my bad, not lineup.
Yeah.
But apparently he should be in the lineup. He's knocking homers.
Yeah, we knew we made that mistake last year during the 2020 season. That started to become obvious. But also, the Phillies, I don't think, expected Logan Webb and all this. And I feel like Okay, you know how Anderson came on and won like went 9-2 in that 60-game season or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anderson came in and did that.
And his first start was against Boston.
Yeah, his first start was against the Yankees.
Then he beat Boston.
But my point is, I feel like Logan Webb, even though he's got a track record before that, don't get me wrong, I know it's not his rookie season. But I feel like he's going to come into the playoffs and kind of play that that role like Anderson did for the Giants.
Yeah.
But Gosman's going to have a little bit of it. Gosman's a veteran by this point, by the new veteran standards.
Yeah, by the new vet standards. Yeah.
And Discofante, he's pretty nasty too. I mean, they've got options, but they're starting to get a little wore down. Darren Ruff is injured.
You play in that division, you will get worn down.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. It's getting interesting. It's all coming down to the wire.
Well, we're going to have to see what happens with the AL. We're going to get a pot in before the 8th, before the playoffs start. So, you know, if you're listening, we appreciate it. We would love some feedback.
Yes, if you happen to be subscribed to us on one thing, go on all the other podcast things you can and subscribe to us. Help us out as much as we can. This is just kind of like a, you know, venture journey where
this
we're
is
just
a beta test.
Yeah,
really.
We're testing things. We're trying to get some feedback. We're trying to get some type of comments if you can. But yeah, man, I hope you're enjoying this year of baseball as much as I am because it's been really exciting.
And I mean, you know, when we started this, dude, I think both of us were nervous. And we were having, software issues, stuff like that. But all in all, it's been fun, man.
Couldn't get mics working. Sound like I'm, speaking gibberish half the time, which I am. You know, shit like that. But we're working through it.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's been cool, man. I've really enjoyed doing it with you. And I think, like, the last four podcasts have been the most fun because it just feels natural, like we're just hanging out in the...
Exactly.
You know, so anyways, you guys keep listening, and we will see you next time.
Peace out.